Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for having me to share with you this morning. I have known Diana for a long time, and it's my privilege to come and share the Word of God with you this morning. By way of a little bit of introduction to myself, my name is Andrew, and I've grown up in Canberra. I've lived here all my life. I've been in ministry for about 20 years now. I started when I was about 19, so you can do the math. And my heart is for young people and children. I started in youth ministry, and I'm still in youth ministry. I work for the Anglican Diocese of Canberra and Goulburn, and I look after their youth and children's ministry to all of the dioceses. So that includes working with churches to help organise and run effective youth ministries and kids' churches and things like that, helping them reach out into their community, to children and young people, and also running camps. I still run youth camps. I'm now the parental figure on camps now, rather than the cool uncle or big brother, and that's taken a bit of getting used to. But my heart is to see people come to know Jesus, and for me particularly, that's working with children and young people, and by extension their families. Because as you get to know children and young people, you get to meet their mums and dads, and you get to have a bit of interaction with their family as well. So in my job, in my ministry, there's a lot of things that I do which connects with children and young people, and there's a lot of things that areas that we have influence over. And what I wanted to share with you today is about our circles of influence. Now, we know that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are asked to go into all the world, and we are asked to share the good news with the world, whoever that might be. It might be here in Australia, it might be around the world, it might be our work colleagues, our neighbours, our family. We are called to go and share the good news. We're called to love God, we're called to love others, and we're called to go and share the good news. And for some of us, that's quite scary. For me, that's quite scary. I'm quite comfortable talking to a teenager, but put me in a room full of adults and I'm not as comfortable. Okay? You might be the exact opposite way, but that's okay. But what I want to share with you is that God has called us to be an influence for Him in our world. And we need to be proactive about that. We need to do that in ways that are that we've thought about, that are deliberate, that are intentional, because God is asking us to share the most important message that someone will ever hear in their life, and He's asking us to do that. So we need to be aware of how we can influence other people for Jesus, and how we might be able to do that in the areas that we are connected with today. So what I'd like to do today is go through a little bit of how that might work for us and share with you from the Bible about what God is calling us to do in terms of influencing others for Jesus and what that might look like in our world. Does that sound okay? All right, cool. Now, I'm used to talking to teenagers who have a really short attention span, so I do move a lot and I do ask questions. So if you want to respond to a question that I ask, awesome, that's great. If you're quiet, that's okay too. I don't mind. I won't take it as you being rude or not liking me. That's cool, all right? I just want to say that up front because it will be like that a little bit today. Okay. All righty. So we can see here that we're going to talk about our circles of influence. And what I would like to share with you today is a little bit of, let's do a little bit of English definition. Let's just define what we talk about. When we're talking about the circle of influence, what are we looking at? Well, I went to the Urban Dictionary, which is where you go today to look things up, and the Urban Dictionary tells me that influence, okay, how do we define a circle of influence? Where they're the people that we know whom you may receive assistance from or give assistance to. So when we're talking about people in our circle of influence, they're people who we may assist or who may assist us. So we have some kind of relationship and connection with them. We have a look at a little definition was the more people that we get to know, the larger our circle of influence becomes. Pretty self-explanatory, right? The more people we know, the bigger our circle of influence becomes. Okay, so I would like to define circle of influence today for our context as a meaningful interaction that we have with another person, either directly or indirectly. Okay, so we're going to define circle of influence as a meaningful interaction that we have with someone, either directly or indirectly. You with me on that? Okay, So this is what we're talking about. When we're looking at circle of influence today, we're looking at who do we have a meaningful interaction with? What kinds of people, who are they, how many are they? When we have a meaningful interaction with someone, we're going to look at that as our circle of influence. So I'm going to get you to do a little bit of maths. Don't worry, I've done it all for you. You just got to follow along with me. So I thought, as I looked at this, I thought, well, okay, well, on average, how many people might we have in our circle of influence? The average person, how many people might we have in our circle of influence? So I went ahead and I did a bit of math. Now, as you could appreciate, the parameters for this equation could be huge. They could be really huge. So I've gone for something really conservative and quite simple. So what I'm looking at when I define our circle of influence today is we're looking at a person who lives in an Australian city. Okay? Just like you and me. A person who lives in an Australian city. We're going to assume that they will have three meaningful interactions a day. Okay? That's quite conservative, but let's just work off that figure. So you're going to have three meaningful interactions with someone a day. It could be with your kids, it could be with your parents, it could be with a work colleague. But somewhere during the day, you're going to have three meaningful interactions with someone. That's more than just, hey, going, Joe, I'm good, that's great, see you later. I wouldn't necessarily call that a meaningful interaction. But we're looking at interactions we have that might be, hey, Joe, how you going? Remember last week you told me that you were struggling with something? How's that going? Okay? See how that takes it to the next level of relationship? So that's what we're using to define a meaningful interaction, where we go a little bit deeper than just the, hey, how you going, sort of surface stuff. Okay? Now we're looking at the average lifespan according to the Bureau of Statistics is 82.1 years for the average Australian. Okay? So let's just take that figure. And I'm going to say that, look, let's say we start having meaningful interactions from the age of 5. Okay? Just to make this a little bit simpler. So we'll say once we're 5, we can start having some meaningful interactions, intentional meaningful interactions. I have 2 children. They had plenty of interaction with me before they were 5. But I think that by the time they were 5, they could intentionally interact with me in a meaningful way. They sort of started thinking about that. So that's just my basis for that. And we have obviously 365 days a year. I'm not going to factor in leap years because that was too much math. Okay? So, as we look at this, that based on these parameters, we come up with an equation that looks a little like this. Sorry for the math, everybody, on a Sunday morning at church. Okay? So, put very simply, that the average number of years, less 5 years because we're starting at the age of 5, multiplied by the 3 interactions that we have a day for 365 days a year. Look at that figure. That's a very conservative 85,000 meaningful interactions over our lifetime with someone else. And this math is seriously conservative. It's seriously conservative. Okay, but you can look at the number. 85,000 meaningful interactions with people. So this means that over our lifetime, we will meaningfully interact with 85,000 people. Let that sink in for a little bit. I read that and I went, that can't be right. And I rechecked the math, and it is right. It is right. Now, this figure doesn't include the influence we may have on those that we don't know about. Okay, such as those who are watching how we behave and how we live. They might be at work. We might never have really many meaningful interactions with them, but we're at work or at school or at uni, and they see how we live, and how we're living has an influence on them. We never know about that. Okay, this doesn't include those kind of interactions. It doesn't include things that people, the influence we might have about things that we post online that other people read, our Facebook feed or whatever, that we don't know how that influences people. We don't know who's reading that. It doesn't include how we might influence through a third person. So someone that we've influenced then influences someone else. We're not counting that number in this 85,000. Okay? If we factor in the potential influence we have to the third parties, so we influence someone and they influence someone else, or those interactions that we don't know about, like what we post online or people that are watching our lives, okay, if we factor in those based on our really conservative number here, the number of influences we have increases to over 250,000 in our lifetime. The exact number based on the math is 253,327 and a half. Okay? I did the math because I wanted to make sure it was all right. So there we go. So let's let that sink in just for a minute. Our circle of influence, friends, we have a very conservative 84,500 direct meaningful interactions. Very conservative. If we count the interactions that we have that we don't know about because we're influencing someone through them watching us, or we've influenced someone who then influences someone else, that number goes up to well over 250,000 in our lifetime. It's potentially 250,000 people that you individually have an opportunity to influence for Jesus because of your interactions today and tomorrow and over the course of your life. That's huge. That really blew my mind when I sat down and thought about it. When I sat down and I thought about, hang on a minute, how much influence do I really have? And again, we're talking about the average person. You might go, oh, yeah, but Andrew, you're basically a pastor. You're meant to influence heaps of people. And you put yourselves in a position where you deliberately influence lots of people. Yeah, I do. My number might be a little higher than that. But as I've looked at the math, this is the average Australian with three meaningful interactions a day, which I'm sure all of you have at least three, if not more. So this is you. This is you guys. These figures are for you. Over 250,000 people a year. And when we look at the Bible, we see that Jesus knew all too well the enormity of influence. Look at the way Jesus led his disciples. He had them in a community. He lived life with them. He showed them what it meant to live in the kingdom of God. And they followed as they watched and they learnt. And then he gave them opportunities to go and influence, didn't he? We see in the Gospels plenty of opportunities where the disciples were sent out to go and minister, to go and influence the world for Jesus. So Jesus knew how important influence is because he knows that we have these connections and more in our lives. And if Jesus knew that, then one, it's important for us to actually put ourselves in positions where we can influence others for Jesus, isn't it? But two, if he knew that this was that our influence on others would be so important, then surely Jesus would have given us some guidelines and teaching on how to do that well, right? Good news is, friends, he did. And we're going to have a look at that this morning. So what I'd like you to do is, as we think about how much influence we actually have with people, how many meaningful connections we have, let's look at how Jesus has taught us and how we should influence others for Jesus and be meaningful in those interactions, not just, you know, influence them to barrack for your favourite sports team or something like that, but actually turn them into meaningful interactions with people where we have opportunities to share Jesus with them. Sound good? You're going to come along with me for the ride?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, you're kind of trapped in here now, aren't you? That's right. No, don't do that. I'm sure that's a fire safety thing. Okay. So the first question I want to ask you this morning is, well, who is watching you? If we're influencing people, great. Who's watching us? Who might be watching us in our lives? Who are the people that we are influencing directly and indirectly today? So have a little think. In your life, who are the people that you have meaningful interactions with each day? Who are they? I mentioned some of them earlier. It might be family, children, might be work colleagues. I'm sure you could picture at least three people. Okay? They might be your neighbours. They might be your barista. You know, you might need that coffee to get going in the morning and on your way to work. You might see that, you see that person, what, 5 days a week, 40 weeks a year. Hey, wow, what an influence right there. Right there. Now, I'm going to jump around a few Bible passages today. I've got them up on the screen, so if you want to open your Bible and follow me, you're welcome to, but I have put them up on the screen for ease as well. So the first passage I'd like to look at this morning is Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Okay, a well-known passage all about influence, where Jesus is saying to us that we are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. We are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we see here Jesus knows the potential of influence. What is he saying to us in this passage? He makes it really clear that other people are watching us and that we have the potential to influence others as they watch us. Salt enhances flavour, we know that, and it preserves food. It's important. Light makes things visible, doesn't it? Okay? It brings awareness and truth as we share the light of Jesus. Jesus is telling us in these passages that we need to bring life and hope and point people to Jesus. Part of our influencing is to point people to Jesus. Well, all of our influencing actually is to point people to Jesus. But we need to be active in doing that. We notice that there's lots of actions in this passage. There's a lot of actions in this passage. Jesus makes it really clear that our actions speak louder than words. That our actions speak louder than words. That light is something that is seen. That the lamp is put somewhere so it can be seen. That we are being active in sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. And like ripples in a pond, we know that what we do has a far-reaching effect. We throw that stone in and we see the ripples, and that's how we go. We know that we have far-reaching effects by the things that we say. So it's important that we understand that people are watching us. We know that. We know people are watching us, and so we need to live our lives in a way that brings influence for Jesus in the way that we are living our life. So the second question for us this morning is, well, who are you watching? We've looked at who's watching us. Who are you watching? Who are you sitting there surveying your land? Who are you paying attention to? You see, we become like those that we watch. We become like those that we hang around with. We become like those that we spend time with. We become like those whose thoughts we read, whose words we listen to, whose ideas we seek to follow. So it's very important for us to know who we are watching. If we want to influence others for Jesus, well, the Sunday school answer is, well, we have to watch Jesus. And yes, that's right. But we need to be careful who else we're watching within that as well. We need to be careful who else that we're watching and who else we are putting our time and our trust in. Now, as some examples, in my years of working with young people, teenagers mainly, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things, and I've seen a lot of things come in and come out, influence, and we might call those cultural trends, all right? So in my 20 years or so, I've seen all of a sudden the youth all turn up to youth group one week, and they're all wearing the same black T-shirts with a metal band on it, right? And that might go for about 3 months. And they're all wearing the same thing, and they're all dressing the same way, and they're all looking the same way. I've seen them all then all turn up with skateboards, right? Twice. I've seen skateboards come around twice, right? They all turn up with skateboards, and that's what they're doing. They're watching each other, and they're picking up on the same things, and they're fitting into the same cultural influences, right? They're influencing each other. Skinny jeans, right? Never get me a pair of those. But our young people would wear skinny jeans. And all of a sudden they all turn up, even the boys. I don't know what they were doing, but they all turn up in skinny jeans. And of course, more recently, mobiles and smartphones. They turn up and they're on that and they're talking to each other over Messenger rather than face-to-face and they're sitting next to each other. But, you know, that's another story. But they're influencing each other, okay? Now, I didn't necessarily have any input into that. I mean, I wasn't telling them to skate. I can't skate. I don't wear skinny jeans. Might do the death metal T-shirt, but the thing is that they were influencing each other, and culture and society was influencing them, and so they were living that out through the way that they dressed and the way that they were acting and behaving. Now, I want to tell you a story. Lydia was Lydia's youth leader, and back then I had hair, Okay? I had lots of it. And I would colour my hair blonde, green, purple, because that's what youth leaders did back then. There's a really interesting trend with youth leaders. I can track this and I've got photos to prove it. But first it was hair colour, right? Then youth leaders all had a goatee, if you're a guy. You all had the youth leader goatee and it was a thing. And I had that as well. Now I just have this kind of funky beard because I have to have hair somewhere that I can play with, right? I have to be out of style or something. But here's the thing. I would colour my hair. Okay, I would colour my hair and it was all different colours and it would change and those kind of things. But I remember very clearly Diana coming up to me one Sunday at church going, "Can you stop colouring your hair? Because Lydia wants all these weird colours in her hair." She said, she's seeing you. She goes, Eddie was my youth group name, my nickname. The kids call me Eddie. And she goes, "But Lydia said, Eddie does it. I want to have my hair like his. He's cool." That's probably the only time he used to call me cool. But that's okay. So you see, I didn't even know it, but I'm having this influence on Lydia because she wants her to colour her hair like mine. Okay? I mean, now she still has hair, so she can do whatever she likes with it. But you see, I had an influence. I didn't even think about that. Like, we were doing games and teaching them about Jesus and things like that, and you know, Dana's been sharing with me some of the way that we've had impact in Lydia's life as she's grown up, and I'm very thankful to God for that. But, you see, I didn't even realise that my hair colour was influencing my youth group, right? But I was. They were watching me, and they wanted to emulate me, okay? So, the same thing for us. We need to be careful that we are watching people, and we are watching and influencing our own lives with things that are going to help us emulate Jesus, right? And not emulate something else. Because if we want to influence others for Jesus, we've got to be influenced by Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. So we need to be careful that we do that. A couple of other examples for you is that language changes a lot. Young people will come and words mean completely different things again. So we need to be careful in what we say. So what we're communicating in, you know, like young people come in and they call things wicked or sick or lit or, I mean, I don't even know what that one is. My son used it the other day, and he's 7, and I have no idea what it means. It just means cool or something like that. But you see, we need to be careful with the words that we're saying, obviously, too. If you want to try and understand youth lingo, be my guest to help me out. But that's okay. I was sharing the other day with the youth group at our church. My wife and I went, they were doing a series on relationships, and my wife and I went down to talk about our relationship and how we got to know each other and things like that. And I was sharing with the youth that in high school, my deep desire was to have a girlfriend. I didn't have one in high school. I didn't have one all the way through high school. Okay, don't feel sad for me, but that's just what it was. But I had this deep desire that I wanted one, and so I would watch the popular kids who had girlfriends, right, and try and emulate them. Okay? It was total failure. But I'm like, I see them, and I see what they're doing, and I want what they want, so then I should behave like them, shouldn't I? It didn't go very well for me, but I studied them and I dressed like them and I tried to speak like them, and you know, I wasn't being true to who I was, and I definitely wasn't being true to who Jesus wanted me to be, but I was watching them and that was changing the way that I was living. In between youth ministry jobs, I worked as a tradie with my uncle, and that started to influence me too, picking up on the lingo and the language. Going, you know, the way that they went out for drinks on Friday after they knocked off work and things like that. And so I started seeing myself change because of the environment that I was working in. And I had to be really careful about what I did and what I didn't do because I didn't want to compromise my faith, but I also wanted to be an influence for Jesus. And so it was quite stark, the contrast there of me trying to stand out. And so let's have a look at what the Bible tells us about who we're looking to and what we're doing. And we're going to Matthew 6, 19 to 21. I'm sure you've read this many times before. Jesus is telling us, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Another passage that really makes the point to us about influence. Where are we setting our eyes Where are we setting our heart? Who are we watching? Who are we watching? Are we watching Jesus or are we watching the world? Are we more interested in wealth and being comfortable and setting ourselves up nicely here on earth when Jesus is quite clearly telling us, no, don't do that. This stuff's all temporary. Are we focusing on the temporary or are we focusing on the eternal? Because what we're focusing on will definitely influence how we live and then in turn how others see Jesus through us. Are you letting popular culture shape and water down your faith? Questions for you. Is the weight of public opinion swaying your view on what's right by God's standards? Very pertinent today. Very pertinent, very challenging today. Are your achievements swaying who you think you are? Are you busy watching yourself? Are you busy tracking your bank balance or tracking your academic achievements or your work promotions or your, your Candy Crush score, you know? Where is your value coming from? Where are you placing your self-worth? Are you examining what you let into your life against God's word? Are you allowing Him to give you your value and your self-worth and purpose? Because friends, we know that's where we need to look. And we're often up here, that's where we want to look. But sometimes in our heart, it's a bit trickier, it's a bit harder. We need to keep examining ourselves and working through that with God, so that we are watching the right person, God, to allow to influence our lives. So our next logical question is, how do we influence others for Jesus? So we've looked at who's watching us. We've looked at who are we watching. So if we're watching Jesus and we're striving to follow Him, but how do we influence others for Jesus? I'd like to share with you a little story. You may have heard this story before, but I want to share it with you today. And the story goes like this. A man was walking along the beach after a violent storm the night before. And as he walked along the beach, he could see all across the wet sand that were covered in starfish. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of starfish up and down the beach. As far as he could see, there were just starfish everywhere. All these starfish had been washed up in the violent storm the night before. And they were all sitting on the sand and they were just out of the water. And as he's walking along the beach, he was being careful not to step on them as he went down the beach. Okay. As he looked ahead, in the distance he could see a young boy. He could just see this person bobbing up and down with great regularity in the distance. And as he drew closer, he could see that this child was bending down, picking up a starfish and was throwing it back into the ocean. So every time he bobbed up and down, he was picking up a starfish and he was throwing it back into the ocean. Over and over he watched as he walked along the beach, this child bobbed down, pick up a starfish, throw it back in the ocean, keep walking, pick out another one, throw it back in the ocean. Eventually the two came close enough that he could ask the boy a question. And he said to him, "What are you doing? There are hundreds of starfish on this beach. There are far too many for you to throw back into the sea before they die. How can you possibly make a difference?" And without breaking stride, the child bent down, picked up another starfish, and he threw it in the ocean, and he said, "I made a difference to that one. I made a difference to that one." You see, friends, we have to put ourselves in places where we can influence others for Jesus. We have to put ourselves in places where we can build relationships with other people and share our faith. We need to be a friend to others. We need to know our neighbours. We need to know our workmates, our colleagues, our classmates. Hey, start talking to your barista more than just about your coffee order. Start building relationships where you can go deeper past the superficial, "How you going? I'm great, thanks very much, my coffee, I'm out." It's really important, friends, that we know non-Christians. It's really important that we know people who don't know Jesus. And we need to build relationships. And there's many ways that we can do that, obviously. And I'm sure there are some ways that you guys are exploring here too. But we need to serve in our community. We need to be out there sharing the love of Jesus with those in our community in whatever shape or form that works for us or what we decide that God's calling us into. But we need to be involved in mission, whether that's local, overseas, it doesn't matter. We need to put ourselves in positions where we can influence others for Jesus by building relationships and getting to know people.
Now, I know you guys know that, but I want to share that with you again. That's the key. If we want to influence others for Jesus, we got to be where other people are. Easier said than done, but that's what God is calling us to do. So to become more like Jesus, in theological terms, we would call this spiritual maturity. Okay? Really what that means is becoming more like Jesus. We grow in our spiritual maturity the more we spend time in God's Word, the more we spend time in prayer, the more we spend time with other believers, and the more we grow in our relationship with Jesus. So let's have a look at a few Bible passages that will help support this. So we're looking at Luke chapter 6, 39 to 40. It's on the board, it's on the projector again for you too. So he also told them a parable. This is Jesus, obviously. He said, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." Here goes spiritual maturity. Who is our teacher? Jesus. Who do we need to become like? Jesus. So we must spend time with our teacher in order to become like our teacher. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4-8. Paul says, "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he, God, has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere." Here, Paul is praising the church of Thessalonica because they are known to be imitators of Christ. They are known to influence the world because Jesus influences them, and they in turn influence the world by living out their faith in Jesus. So again, we need to know Jesus. We need to know who we are, know his words, so that we may be influencing others for him in our world. But I want to just make the point that to imitate Jesus is not simply to mimic or copy him, but it's actually to reproduce. Jesus has called us to reproduce, to go and make disciples. So it's not just okay for us to copy Jesus and keep it to ourselves. We need to reproduce Jesus in others by sharing the good news and then letting God work in their heart as they become a believer in Jesus. So Jesus wants to reproduce himself in us as we surrender our life to him. The more of ourselves we let go, the more of Jesus we grow. The more of ourselves we let go, the more of Jesus we grow. We can't become more like Jesus simply by trying to live a good life and copy Jesus. We know that the Christian walk requires sacrifice and surrender. God is asking us to give over our desires and our will in order to follow his perfect will for us. Becoming more like Jesus is the direct and exclusive result of God working in us. We can't become more like Jesus if God's not working in us. God can't work on us if we're not spending time with him and spending time growing in our faith with him. And we know that we can only become more like Jesus when we let go of our sinful nature and our selfish desires. That's the hard part. I can want to become more like Jesus all I like, but until I'm ready to surrender those things that I want to hang on to because they're mine, God can't do his full work in me, and God can't do his full work in you. That's the mystery of faith. The more we give up, the more we get. It doesn't make sense, but it's true. The more of ourselves that we give up, the more God gives us and fills us and grows us to be like Jesus. We've got to remember that it's all by God's grace that we are saved. It is by his grace alone that we are saved, and his grace will sustain us through that process. It's an ongoing transformation, isn't it? It's a daily surrender to Jesus. It's a daily coming before Jesus and saying, "I want to be influenced by you. I want to be someone who serves you and follows you. So take my
whatever it is, list it, that might be getting in the way. Say, God, just take it. Take it, because I don't want it to block who I am, block you working in my life. I want to become more like you. And it's active. Our faith needs to be active, friends. We've got to be proactive in our faith. We've got to learn and grow. We've got to put ourselves in positions where God can say, Andrew, that's not quite right in your life. I want to get that fixed. You ready? Yeah, God, sometimes. What do you want me to do? But if I'm not spending time with God and having conversations with him, I'm not going to hear from him, and he's not going to be able to weed those things out of my life that he knows are not good for me. I just want to briefly share with you two distinct points in my life where I needed Jesus to do some major work in my life. And in order for that to happen, I needed to let go. The first was when I was 14, and I really felt God call me. I believed in God. I grew up in the church. But I was at a Christian youth event, and God said to me, you say you follow me, but you don't really. Are you in or are you out? And I knew it was so clear. He's like, are you in or are you out? Because you need to make a decision. And at that point, I had to say to God, I'm in, but I had to think about what that meant. It meant that I had to surrender. It meant that there were things in my life that I had to give up. I had to start living a different way because I knew where God wanted to call me. But I had to make a decision, and that was hard. The second point in my life that I want to share with you is much later in my life, where I actually left the church for about 4 years. I was hurt. I didn't like where I was. I felt betrayed. And so I walked. I didn't walk from my faith, but I walked away from attending a church because I felt that they were all, you know, hypocrites and liars and stuff, you know, which I am. But I was really hurt. And it took 4 years of God working in my heart to go, no, you know what? You need to seek forgiveness because you've had wrong attitudes, Andrew. You've thought wrong things. You've done wrong things. And part of this is your fault. You need to go and fix that because I want you to come back. And man, was that hard. That was so hard. That required me to go to the people who I felt had betrayed and hurt me and say, I'm really sorry. I acted like a fool. I disrespected you. I did the wrong thing. And I had to ask for forgiveness. That was hard. That was really hard. But I knew that if I didn't, God couldn't bring me back. He had these plans for me. But if I didn't seek repentance, I couldn't come back. I had to deal with that. And it was tough. Okay? But that was the door that opened to where I am now. And to the progress that I've made. And to the places that I've gone with God. Because I was willing to say to God, I want to be influenced by you, not by my own self, by my feelings and the way that I, you know, was hanging on to things. So I want to encourage you with that, that I'm sure there are things in your life that God's putting his finger on gently and saying, you need to move this. This needs to be dealt with. And I want to encourage you that actually if we want to influence others for Jesus, we need to let God influence us. And God is influencing you by putting his finger on things and saying, let's work through this together. Let's fix this up so that you can grow in me and I can continue to use you for my glory. The next slide is a short video that I want to play. I think it should work. You just might have to click play back there. We'll see if it works. It's just a short challenge for us this morning. I want to show the video and then I'll briefly finish after that. So hopefully there's a little play box at the bottom. No good? Never mind. It is all good. I will move on. Sorry, don't worry about it, tech guys. I'll just keep going. The challenge for us today, friends, is are you going to be a disciple of Jesus? Because if you are, and that's what you want to do, then Jesus is calling you to give up. He is calling you to give up what you cannot keep. Fame, fortune, glory, wealth, comfortableness here, nice house, whatever it is. None of that stuff we can take with us when we die. We know that. Jesus is saying, are you willing to give up what you cannot keep in order to gain what you cannot lose? Because that's what God is calling us to as we influence others for him. He is saying to you to me. What you see around you, what you grab onto, what you cling to, it's not going to last. It's not eternal. You know what's eternal, friends? My kingdom. Do you know what's eternal, friends? The fact that when you serve me and you work for me, that will last. Bringing people to Jesus will last. Saving souls will last. Nothing else will. We can't take anything else to heaven with us but those that we've shared the gospel with, who have made a decision to follow Jesus. So our challenge today, to me as much as to you, we know that we have a huge amount of people that we can influence in our lives. We've seen that. We did the math. We know that people are watching us. We need to be sure in who we are watching. Who are we watching? And friends, if it's not Jesus, then we need to fix that. And as we allow God, Jesus, to influence our lives, we then can influence others for Jesus. And that in essence, is the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. How do we go into all the world? Well, I let Jesus influence me, and I in turn influence others for Jesus. That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple. And we can all do that, can't we? We can all do that together. Are we willing to give up what we cannot keep to gain what we cannot lose so that others will come to know Jesus? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much that you love us so deeply that when we messed up and we walked away from you, you didn't just go, all right, see ya, I'm going to start again. But that you chased us, that you made a way for us to come back to you through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we understand it on one level, but we will never understand it on another level. Just the depth of your mercy and your love for us. But God, as your children, we stand before you and we say, God, we want to honor you with our lives. We want to serve you and we want to follow you. Lord, we want to influence others for you. Lord, I pray for us this morning that put your finger on those things in our lives that we need to work on. Friends, that's a dangerous prayer. But I ask if you want God to start chipping away the things in your life that are not of him so that you may become more like him, then we pray that this morning together, Lord. Chip away the things, put the finger on those things in our life, Lord, that need to go, that are not of you, so that we may become more like you. Lord, make us really aware of what's influencing us. Lord, challenge us on the things that we read and see and do so that we may weigh them up against your word and go, is this beneficial? Is this beneficial for my relationship with Jesus or not? And deal with it accordingly. And Lord, help us to be influencers. Help us to be relationship builders. Help us, Lord, to be friendly to people and make connections, Lord, so that we may influence them for you. And Lord, above all, I ask that you would give us strength and increase our faith. Increase our trust in you, Lord, that you are capable of doing anything. And Lord, that you are capable of doing anything through us as we surrender our lives to you. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you, Jesus, are our King. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in control of everything, that you have a plan and you are working it out to its fulfillment. Thank you for including us in that plan and giving us roles and responsibilities in order to serve you in your kingdom. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, increase our faith, and give us feet that are ready to move, Lord God, as you lead and guide us. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.